Our colleague Frank Langford, who is based in Shanghai, has been working on a pretty unusual reporting project this fall to get beyond the headlines and into the fast-changing lives of ordinary Chinese. Frank got a car, and he's been offering free rides to people around Shanghai, acting like a taxi driver in one of the world's most dynamic cities. It's all for an occasional series we're calling Streets of Shanghai, and Frank is on the line with us from NPR's Shanghai Bureau. And Frank, how did you get this idea?
Well, you know, David, before I was a reporter, I was actually a taxi driver in Philadelphia.
You have some experience with this.
I do, yeah. And this was right after college. And as I drove the city, I learned probably more in that year than I did in the previous time that I'd lived in and around Philadelphia. And what I figured was, in a place like China, this was a great way to meet people from all walks of life and get a sense of how people in Shanghai and China are really changing.
Okay, so you've essentially taken on a second job right now. You're being a taxi driver. How are you making it work?
Well, my Chinese assistant, his name is Yang, and he had these magnetic signs made up. And in Chinese characters, the signs say, I'm offering a free ride and just want to chat about life. And at first, I did think people would think that this was crazy. But fortunately, Chinese are really curious. And we actually have a taxi shortage in Shanghai. So a lot of people are happy for a free lift. One place I like to go to find customers is ferry stops. Workers and some tourists like to take the ferry, frankly, because it's cheap. So one day, I met these two women at the ferry, and these are textile workers from the next province over, out to see the big city. So I offer them a ride, but at first, David, understandably, they hesitate to get in. Then there's this security guard from a nearby yacht club, and he kind of intervenes, and he tells them not to worry. It's okay, he says. Foreign friends are actually very friendly. So then the girls jump in the back seat, and I drive them over to the Oriental Pearl. That's that futuristic TV tower. You've seen all the pictures of Shanghai skyline. So when I'm dropping them off, David, this was kind of sweet. They insisted on giving me a simple souvenir pocket watch in exchange for the free ride. And then they asked to pose for selfies.
Okay, posing for selfies with these passengers who, Frank, it sounds like were at first reluctant to get into your taxi, your car. Is that because you're an American, you're a foreigner?
Actually, no, it's the opposite. I think they actually trusted me more. There's a lot of distrust amongst Chinese in big cities today. And I met this pajama salesman named Xiao Chen. I met him actually at another ferry stop. And he was very good at explaining the trust issue. You know, one thing we've seen here in China, people often will not help people when they fall down on the street. They hesitate to. And that's because in the past, old people have deliberately collapsed and then tried to extort money from the people who helped them. So when I was talking to Xiao Chen, he said, you know, Chinese actually see many foreigners, particularly Americans, as more trustworthy.
From a young age, Americans are taught good values. Because of their education, Americans trust strangers more. They're more straightforward than Chinese.
Xiao Chen and I exchanged phone numbers, as I do with a lot of the people that I meet through the cab. They're quite friendly. And I got to know him this fall, and I probably learned things about Shanghai and China that I never would have learned through conventional reporting. So I'm back in the car now, and you know, when I first met Xiao Chen, he asked me if I was a Christian, and I said, I am, and he invited me to a gathering. And so now I'm heading through the tunnel under the river on the way to an apartment.
Keep right, then you have reached your destination.
Xiao Chen greets me, and we ride up an elevator to his friend's apartment, and the sounds of this. It's an underground church, and children are singing hymns in a bedroom. And in the living room, a congregation of about 60 adults is watching a video.
They took Joseph's coat, dipped it in the blood of an animal, then brought it to their father.
David, this is Bible training. There's an American pastor, and he's teaching the story of Joseph from Genesis. Now, Chen says it may be Shanghai has more than 700 underground house churches, all of them, of course, illegal. And that's why Chen didn't want to tell me directly. His phone's monitored. Shanghai government doesn't like underground churches, but tolerates them.
The government listens to your calls. Sometimes when there's a big gathering, people from the government may come over to ask you questions about what's going on. Now they have files on us.
Now, Chen makes up to about 10,000 bucks a year selling pajamas. He's lower middle class by Shanghai standards. This is a very expensive city. Chen has a wife and two daughters, but they live in suburban L.A. Chen and his wife, they went there last year to have a second child, a girl, because they couldn't afford the fine for violating China's population policy. Chen's family stayed in California, mostly for the education of their elder daughter, who's about 14. Chen says she was miserable in the Chinese school system because it's such a pressure. pressure cooker.
Sometimes my heart ached for the kid. She always left school very late. She would eat very fast and do her homework until 10 p.m. Each year, her eyesight deteriorated and her personality gradually became more introverted.
Chen says his daughter is a lot happier in L.A., and eventually, he plans to join the family over there. Now, he even has a scheme to fund the move. Now, Chen lives in a prime location by the river. Now, across the home in recent weeks, there have been these scavengers clearing scrap metal. And the reason is the neighborhood's going to be demolished for luxury apartments. And there's even a tower that's already gone up nearby. So as we're standing out outside his home, Chen points to an advertising banner. It's hanging from the top.
You see, the price of an apartment starts at over $1 million. If they really knock down my home, I can buy a house in California. The compensation for demolition here is more than enough to buy a home there.
So at this point, David, Chen's just waiting for the wrecking ball.
We're talking with NPR's Frank Langford, who's been telling us about people he's met while driving a taxi in Shanghai. And Frank, let me make sure I get this. This man, Chen, sells pajamas. He's an underground Christian. He moved his family to the United States so he can have two children, what he hopes will be a better education. He plans to use compensation from the destruction of his home in China to buy a home in Los Angeles. I'm just stunned by how much you have learned from one person that you randomly met while driving this taxi.
Yeah, that's what's been really fun about doing this, is I'm meeting people I otherwise wouldn't meet through regular reporting. And getting to know Chen, I thought I really got a real education from him. One thing is, we know there's a lot of dissatisfaction and uncertainty about the country's future. We've seen these surveys with most millionaires wanting to get green cards and emigrate, usually looking for a better rounded education for their kids. But until I met Chen, I didn't realize how so much of this uneasiness and anxiety runs up and down the socioeconomic ladder here. And what's most striking is when you think about it, China's had this great economic run. Shanghai, in many ways, is a spectacular city. But it's telling that you meet a pajama salesman and find out that even he's working on an exit strategy.
Well, I can't wait to hear about more people you meet. Frank, thanks a lot and happy driving.
Happy to do it, David.